Chasers, and happy November 4th, you guys. I hope everybody is having a fantastic beginning of their Thursday. I am Allison, the host of Pop Chaser, the daily pop culture podcast brought to you by The Dip. And every day we will go through the biggest headlines in entertainment together. So we have a few things to check in the Bravoverse, and then I would like to discuss Kim and Pete because I didn't touch on it earlier this week. I kind of just thought it would go away, but I have a lot of thoughts and it's just growing. So just a little peek behind the curtain of what we're going to be discussing today. Let's kick it off with the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion, part 4.
That Erica shouldn't be questioned because she's dealing with something serious. Yolanda's health and Kim's addiction and Denise's marriage were all pretty serious in my eyes, but now with Erica, it's crickets. Did aliens take over your body? Please explain yourself.
No, aliens have not taken over my body.
Okay, but this is a really important point.
I'm gonna say, number one, I feel horrible about what happened with Yolanda.
So the conclusion has finally occurred. I feel like this season has been, I think, the longest it's ever had when you count the reunions, considering this is in like COVID times. And let's honestly forget that The Real Housewives of OC was like 2 episodes long this past season. I have to say, like, they really turned it out. Part 4 of the reunion was a little labored. I think that the 3 parts is the way to go. I don't think we need 4 parts, but I understand you got to milk it. So let's talk about it. Garcelle continues to be my North Star. She maintains such a coolness and class. She never comes at someone without like a rational reason. She's just so respectful and she's actually so respectable. I lose a lot of respect for these women when I see how they act towards each other. For example, I have been known to really like Dorit. I lost a lot of respect for her the way she spoke to Garcelle during this reunion, especially when she hollered at her. It was so disgusting. So the fact that Garcelle has been able to remain so even keel, I really respect it. And I don't think I would have. And I just think she's incredible. And maybe I need to start watching The Real. I don't know. Should I? Is anyone watching The Real? Lisa Rinna, as we heard in the beginning of this segment, the whole, like, I don't feel good about that apology tour about talking about Yolanda and Munchausen, talking about Kim and how she was near death, talking about Denise and Brandy. I thought it was such bullshit. I feel like Rinna's motives are so thinly veiled and obvious. I just can't comprehend what more Rinna has to bring to this show. I loved when she called people out. Don't get me wrong. I loved when she called people out because at the end of the day, this is reality TV and we need some conflict. And Rinna brought the conflict. But for her to be like, I don't feel good about that and pretend like she's learned from it and thus isn't asking the questions to someone who is in a very questionable situation, I just don't buy it. And I just find it so frustrating because it's like when it's convenient for Rinna, she will deploy her many, many inquisitive moments. But when it's not convenient for her, when she either fears the person or doesn't want to get involved or is just like blindly loyal, she retreats and her only storyline is about her husband's bolognese. And that I'm just not interested in. So I just am asking for her to bring it. I think that, you know, I've gone back and forth. Does Rinna need to come back? I think that I actually want her to come back because I think that this next season could be a bit of a downfall. And I'm not saying I look forward to seeing the demise of people, but I also don't not look forward to it. And so, you know, the same way Vanderpump came back and then got really messy for leaking stories, allegedly, I think is possibly what could happen to Rinna. And I think that that's a fun change of pace and I wouldn't be against it, but we'll find out, right? I don't think that the cast is going to change. It's too good. And I think Andy has even said that. Okay, the Erica of it all, it took so long to get to all of this. I don't even know if we're ever going to get answers. I kind of feel like at this point, it's just been a broken record one after the other. And sure, Andy asked questions and the women kind of asked questions, but Erica's not going to say anything. And I listened to this podcast, Las Culturistas. And on Las Culturistas, it's Bowen Yang and Matt Rogers. Bowen from SNL. Matt is a fantastic comedian and actor. They had on Chris Kelly, who is one of the co-creators and writers for The Other Two, which is such a good HBO Max show. It used to be on Comedy Central. He used to be a writer for SNL. He's so funny. And he was saying, we need to stop expecting that Erica is going to just be like, you know what? I knew all along and I don't regret a bit of it. Like, that's not going to happen. And we need to kind of just let that go. Erica, whether she knew or not, I think we've heard everything we're going to hear about it. With that said, she really put her foot down in why she turned on Sutton more than anyone else. And it still doesn't make sense to me. I don't think it ever will make sense to me. I think Sutton's response was entirely rational and reasonable. And the other women saying that they weren't questioning her and calling her a liar, I think that that's maybe how Erica has painted it in her head. And I get it. Erica is very much the receiver when it comes to controversy on this season. So I'm sure she's receiving things and receiving feedback and comments from the women in a way that maybe she wouldn't on a normal season. With that said, if she thinks that these women are not going home to their husbands or their partners or their friends, their family, and talking about exactly what Sutton is saying, like, give me a break. Sutton is the voice of the people in this. She's the housewife of the people. And we needed her. And Erica has been saying, you know, I'm the reason this season was so big. I think that she might be wrong about that. Because if we had everyone acting like Crystal or Kyle or Lisa Rinna or Dorit, we would have been really bored and we would have been really mad. So I think we have a lot of thanks to give to Sutton. I also wanted to say, I thought that the Tom stuff was very sad. Alzheimer's and dementia is very sad, but so is allegedly defrauding people out of millions of dollars and not giving them settlements, if that is what happened. And I don't think that, as Erica said, it doesn't even matter what Tom says at this point. It needs to be just down to like the legal investigation, because he doesn't seem well. And that is tragic. And it's tragic for a lot of people in the situation. So all around, it's sad. But I think we need to remember the victims, and Erica is not a victim. I also just want to say, I don't think we're ever going to know what happened during that accident. The police report, the story just seems to keep changing. And I think that this is like, we have to let God and let go and just know that we will never know. These are like, there are the great mysteries of the world, right? How were the pyramids built? We don't know. What happened in Pasadena the day it was snowing? We don't know. And we never will. And I think at this point, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with it. Okay, let's move on to a Bravo adjacent, speaking of snow, Bravo adjacent show.
We've been through the worst roller coaster ever with our wedding than just like, I've had like family members just be like, when you get married in a situation like right now, when I can't find her, I'm just like, I'm like worried, because I'm like, did I not pay her enough attention?
Do something that shows me that you're thinking about me.
Is Amanda legit missing?
Yeah.
Okay, so Winterhouse, week three of Blacking Out with these kiddos, and I love it. I'm never gonna get tired of it. Paige, definitely going to be heartbroken by Andrea. Also would love to know where Paige got her like tan colored leggings and crop top, because that was a fantastic look. For me, Paige is winning the fashion. Sierra's outfit for the date to the vineyard or the wine tasting, appreciated it. But Paige has really landed on fast fashion meets winter chic means loungewear and athleisure, if you will, that I envy so much, because I have to say, like, at 6 p.m. every night, you know what I'm doing? I'm putting on my Skims pajamas and I love them and I will die in them. Bury me in the Skims ribbed pajama set. I'm telling you, you guys, it's really good. But I love to be able to wear a cool athleisure set that matches and makes me look like I just like have my life together. Of course I would. I don't know where Craig is going to come into the picture still. I'm still really curious. Check out an article on thedip.com though. If you guys remember, Craig was talking all about his dad bod in week two in season or in episode two. This week, when Andrea was benching Paige, she said she liked a dad bod. So maybe the dad bod is what brings them together. Sam Bush wrote a really funny article about it though on The Dip. So check it out. Okay, Kyle and Amanda, as you heard from that clip at the top of the section, this man, when he cries for Amanda because he couldn't find her when she was hiding in a bathroom, I was laughing so hard. He is such a fun drunk to watch. We all know people who are just miserable to be around, and maybe he is miserable to be around, but to watch, I really enjoy it. And I know that he is probably too old for it, but I don't really care. He's literally wearing a Lisa Frank sweatshirt, blacked out, crying about how he couldn't find Amanda and how he just wants to get married. And I love it so much. And call me crazy, I think these two kids are going to last. I said it. And then finally, of course, we have to talk about Lindsay and Austin. So it was a rough week for Hub House last week. This week, also a rough week because Austin and Sierra kind of feel like things are moving along. And I say this knowing Sierra isn't dating this man anymore, but for the sake of the show, I don't hate it. They seemed very lovey-dovey on that wine date. Like him kissing her forehead? Excuse me? That's not what, like, that doesn't happen on a first date, right? Do I need to like talk to some people? Because that has not happened on my first dates. Anyway, I find it fun to watch them because we know that they're not together and I would not want that for Sierra. I'm glad she's not wasting her time with him present day, but I am enjoying watching it. Like I said, waiting for, is his name James? I always forget. Waiting for James to come into the picture. Promo for him and Lindsay seems promising. I got to be honest, the Gabby Luke thing, I could care less about. Luke, I don't know how much we've talked about Summer House on this podcast, but I never liked him on Summer House. And the reason is because I do not like seeing Luke out of his element. His element is winter. And so seeing him in a combat boot and in a rugged jean and his hands frostbitten while he builds an igloo and catches fish out of like an ice hole. And he is just very in his element. And I find that very attractive. Now, watching him in a jort and a combat boot, making a woodworking station, doing millwork in the backyard of a Hamptons home, I don't like that. I don't like it one bit. And in fact, I've always been like, get Luke out of there. But now I'm like, well, I wouldn't be against Luke permanently being on Winter House. Maybe it's just a season of just Luke in Winter House. Maybe it's just Luke goes on the show alone, because Alone is a fantastic show. Okay, the last thing we need to talk about is Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kim Kardashian West.
So this story keeps developing, and I have to say, I don't know where I land. Kim and Pete were on like a water park ride or something weird this past weekend, and everyone was like, oh, what was that, James? And I kind of brushed it off, and I figured it was Kim's way of just making sure people remembered Courtney was the least interesting one to look at during her and Travis's Halloween weekend. And those are Kim's words, not mine. But now, you guys, I'm kind of invested. First of all, I have to just preface, I don't think they're dating. Am I against Kimmy having some fun with Pete? Sure am. I mean, let's look at the evidence that we have. So first, we saw this photo of them at the water park or wherever they were. They would look like they were having a good time. They were holding hands. They were screaming. Kind of the thing you do at a water park on a ride. Kim did what few do, and that was more recently, went to Staten Island for a dinner with Pete. And I'm not here to dunk on Staten Island. In fact, if you're a listener from Staten Island, like, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure to like, review, and subscribe. Five of my best friends are from Staten Island. My best friend, Sam, and then Joe, Sal, Q, and Murr from The Impractical Joker. So I would never bash Staten Island. But is Staten Island a garbage dump? Yes. And in many, many years of living in New York and specifically Manhattan, I never once ventured over there. So for Kim to go there, it says a lot about her. It really does. Love knows no boundaries, perhaps. Then Dumois posted an email, I guess, a blind item from a supposed relative of Pete's. And it read, Pete doesn't do anything for publicity, because people are saying like, oh, all of this is for publicity. And it said, Pete doesn't do anything for publicity. That's not really his thing. He's having fun with Kim and that's all he cares about. And Dumois did say that this relative gave their real email. I don't know what that means. Like, does that mean that it was like petesmom@gmail.com? I don't know what it meant, but it seems like maybe they were trying to verify it. It does, at the end of the day, tell me exactly what I thought, that these two are having fun. They're not dating long term. They know that this is a good time, not a long time situation. And I think that's great. I actually very much want that for both of them. Pete is the person to date. He's like the hot commodity in Hollywood right now. We've got Courtney, who's dating Travis. Kim has seen all of the great things that have come for Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox. So she's like, let me get myself a bad boy with a lot of neck tattoos and I'll see what comes of it. And I don't blame her. And I think Pete is like, hey, I'm having a good time. Why not? And you know what? Why not? I want to know what you think about Kim and Pete, though. We have an article on The Dip. Make sure to comment on it because I read all the comments and it's really fun to see what all of you guys are saying. You can use a promo code POPCHASER for 50% off your annual subscription. That way you can comment because that's exclusive to subscribers. I will be back tomorrow with a whole new episode and a whole bunch of new headlines. Until then, I hope everyone has a fantastic Thursday and cheers.